Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and welcome to this ASI cast. The scramble underway for broadcasters to provide streaming services is beginning to resemble a gold rush as they struggle to avoid being left behind, with consumers increasingly turning to subscription VOD offers provided by new media players. In response, broadcasters are looking to work together to broaden their streaming offer, with ProSieben collaborating with Discovery in Germany to launch their Join service, TF1, France Télévisions and the M6 Group launching Salto in the new year, and the BBC and ITV getting together to provide their BritBox products. In this ASI cast, Richard Marks spoke with Nigel Wally shortly after the announcement of the BritBox launch.
Welcome back to the podcast, Nigel. For those who haven't been following the developments with BritBox, or for our listeners outside of the UK, what exactly is BritBox?
Right, well, the BritBox that we're hearing all the noise about at the moment is the second instalment of a longer story. So at its core, BritBox is a subscription video on demand service, so an SVOD service, as we call them, and it's owned jointly by the BBC from the UK and from ITV, the major UK commercial broadcaster. That's a very top line story. BritBox in its earliest form launched in 2017 in the US and Canada. So there's a version of BritBox already in the market, and the broad positioning is that it's an SVOD service full of the best of British television. If you accept the fact that the best means only from BBC and ITV, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. As I said at the beginning, the thing we're hearing about at the moment is the extension of that initiative from being just North America into being the UK as well. And so we're seeing a second iteration of the BritBox service, albeit with some slightly different ownership. So in the US, it's a 50-50 partnership between the BBC and ITV, and the content is reasonably 50-50 split between the two. That's not going to be the same in the UK, where it seems to be being driven much more by ITV. And ITV have got about a 90% share of it in the UK, and the BBC have just got 10%. And ITV seem to be much more of a driver in the UK than it was in the US. But as I'm sure we'll talk about in just a moment, the initiative launching over here has raised lots and lots of questions about its configuration and content and things.
Why is it taking so long to get to this point? Because I know that there's been various attempts at broadcaster online collaboration that have had a few starts a few full starts in the UK, not least from the regulators not being happy about them.
Yeah, there's lots of moving parts here, which is causing various of delays. Both BBC and ITV have got studios businesses which already do lots of work with other SVOD services like Netflix and Amazon Prime. And so there's lots of question marks about how these companies can balance the commercial interest they already have with what would be seen as competitive SVOD services with the needs of BritBox. And I'm not sure that's yet been resolved. So that's been one of the confusing things. The second area, which is also confusing, is the strategic need for this. It kind of differs within the BBC and ITV, and I think aligning the strategies has been difficult. ITV, on a simple basis, needs a strong commercial competitive play to Netflix, and it needs to be able to show the financial markets that it has a good story around adding subscription as a revenue model into its advertising and program sales revenue models. So ITV's needs are much simpler to understand and quite commercial, whereas the BBC is slightly conflicted because it is going to butt up against its strategy for BBC iPlayer. And there's some big question marks over whether it should favour BBC iPlayer in the UK or favour a joint venture called BritBox, in which other parties like ITV have a stake. And again, it haven't been really clear about whether there is clear blue water between BBC iPlayer and BritBox. And I think the conflicting strategies have been very difficult, which is why the BritBox we're getting in the UK, albeit sharing a logo and a web address to the US one, does feel like a very different beast. In the US and in North and Canada, it was much easier to put a large percentage of programming output onto those services and attract a market who are interested in British programmes, because they don't have access to ITV Hub and BBC iPlayer in those markets. So it became a much simpler proposition. In the UK, obviously, all the audiences do have access to that stuff. And so it's much harder to position BritBox in a clear space that doesn't impinge on the other on-demand activities of the two broadcasters.
I mean, a good example is that Good Omens, the big Amazon Prime thing of the summer, was a co-production with BBC Studios and will be on the BBC in the autumn, I'm led to believe. So there's that element of where it sits between BBC Studios producing content for other people, iPlayer, ITV Hub, etc. There's also the element about where is it being positioned as far as the consumer is concerned versus Netflix. A lot of journalists have very much focused on this launch as being the BBC and ITV fighting back against Netflix. This is their answer to Netflix. Is it their answer to Netflix?
I think it's going to be quite blatantly different. I can understand why journalists make that analogy. It's a nice, simple headline to position BritBox somewhere for just two or three lines of text. But there's going to be some big differences. There's some question marks over whether BritBox will have any brand new content. So Netflix, one of its big positions is breaking new content. And it's unclear whether BritBox will be allowed to do that. So ITV have claimed that they're going to commission directly into BritBox, but haven't said how much and how often. The BBC have shied away from making any comments along those lines. So one of the significant differences is that BritBox may not have much or any brand new program being broken into, and so that's going to make it very different. It also, one of the other big differences is that Netflix carries its own catch-up, as it were. So it breaks a new program, and that program is always available through Netflix. Whereas a lot of the programming that will end up in BritBox will be broken and launched into the market first on linear channels, on BBC One and ITV. We'll then spend some time in the catch-up players, iPlayer and ITV Hub, from those two broadcasters, and will then make its way into BritBox as box set archive. So there's a big question mark over whether it can make that claim about being a competitor to Netflix, when a significant part of its asset base is actually going to be long shelf life archive content that's already had two or three goes at the UK market through other channels. So it's a difficult one. It does feel that it's a response to Netflix, but it's certainly not a competitor to Netflix, if you can understand the distinction between those two things.
Yeah, and it could be a competitor in the sense that it will damage Netflix's archive. If I'm being a cynic, it's not a competitor to Netflix. Arguably what it is BBC and ITV taking content away from Netflix and attempting to sell it to you separately when you used to get it bundled with Netflix.
I think that's true, and I think we saw the first of that when Disney announced their direct-to-consumer proposition. The first thing they did was to remove their assets from Netflix archive. So suddenly, if you wanted Disney stuff, you had to go to Disney's own direct service. We haven't yet seen clear announcements along those lines. So I'm nervous about making the assumption that ITV and BBC will pull their stuff. And of course, there are some things in there which are co-productions with Netflix from both broadcasters. So they clearly won't be able to pull those assets from it. It would make sense if they no longer did co-productions with Netflix. It would to put clear blue water between BritBox and Netflix. But you have to wonder whether the allure of the money is too strong. If Netflix are looking for co-production partners and are willing to spend heavily, then you would guess that the bosses of ITV Studios and BBC Studios would want to play. So it may even be that we'll continue to see co-productions from both the studios making their way into Netflix, and understanding who makes the decisions on that is going to be very interesting.
Netflix originally grew out of the home video industry, and as we know, started off by simply mailing DVDs to people, and they popped them in the post and mailed them back. And that Netflix, as we know it, was an attempt to digitize and stream that element, and acknowledging the long-term death of the DVD. Similarly, you could argue that BritBox is more about, particularly the BBC, I think, attempting to replace that lost revenue stream from when everyone was buying Planet Earth DVDs for Christmas and giving them this whole new way of having additional revenue that could feed back into the company and subsidise the licence fee. We know that the BBC store failed quite dramatically, which was their initial attempt to replace that revenue through a TVOD, transaction VOD purchase system. What do you think constitutes success for this new service?
I mean, I think it's a great question. The background context you laid out there is right. There was a successful home-end business, as we used to call it. I don't think it was hugely significant. It clearly made money and it delivered revenue. I'm not sure it was game-changing scale revenue, but it was certainly part of the exploitation of their assets beyond broadcast. And so it was important. And as you say, with the death of the VHS tape and the DVD, that market is pretty much gone. It's very interesting that the BBC themselves sometimes stumble on commercialising their stuff when they seem to be too close to it. Mm. It seemed to be okay to walk into a high street retail store and buy a DVD with the BBC logo on it. People didn't mind paying for it, but as soon as the BBC themselves start trying to be too close to the sales, for some reason the UK consumer starts to object, claiming that they've already got this from the BBC. So the move from DVD to digital has not been easy for the BBC in selling stuff, because it does make consumers start to question whether they're paying twice for something, which when you lay it out, it is irrational, but these are consumers, they're meant to be irrational. So I think that the BritBox logo can be useful for the BBC, because it's one stage away from their own logo being the retailer that's selling it, in the same way that no one ever objected to paying for a UK TV pay TV channel, even though most of the content on it was BBC in the early days. So that was a way of commercialising BBC archive assets as well. So if the BBC can regenerate their home end revenue without it tarnishing the BBC brand, then I think that's one basis of success. But it does raise lots of other questions around the things we've just raised. So the BBC have got the UK TV commercial partnership still in place, and it's unclear how BritBox and UK TV Play are going to work next to each other, because arguably the UK TV VOD services have been doing some of the work that BritBox is going to be doing in the future, and so we're still waiting to see how those two things link up. And ITV similarly has got an entity called ITV Hub Plus, which is an ad-free SVOD service, which I'm told is going to be kept in place. It's got about 500,000 subscribers, apparently, around the world. And BritBox isn't going to replace that. So if you want an ITV-only SVOD service without BBC content, you can still use ITV Hub. So when we talk about success for this service, it's unclear whether it's going to be success sitting alongside these other services that both broadcasters already own and run, or whether success will eventually be bundling these things up into it and becoming the master service. So success is a slightly difficult word to define at the moment, until we understand the future plans for all these other services that are out there.
I think also a fair amount may hang on how the branding, as you say, resonates with people, because certainly there is a niche in the US and Canada for British content. There's a perceived scarcity of it, because I think I'm right in saying the last British TV show to be shown in prime time on American network television was The Avengers in 1969. They do not show you know, British TV. There's no genre that like Scandi Noir or whatever. It's all on BBC America, PBS and stuff like that. So there's clearly a niche demand for a genre called British TV, and therefore BritBox makes sense. In the UK sense, you know, nearly most of the TV we see is British, and particularly the branding of BritBox in the current political climate with Brexit and perhaps, you know, some issues some people may have around the phrase Brit. I'm interested to see how that, how well people understand what it is trying to be.
Yes, it also can feel like an overclaim if it doesn't contain content from Channel 4, Channel 5 and other UK providers. So we have to wait and see whether those other players come on board, either in the UK or in the US. It just does, as I say, is to be claiming too much. I'm not sure that the having the word Brit in there is going to be much of a problem. I do think that its connotation with Brexit is something that we fuss over a lot more in the London bubble than outside or in around the rest of the world. So I'm not bothered by that. I am bothered by the sense that it's claiming to offer a lot more than it actually does, particularly if a lot of the good stuff is kept off it by the BBC or ITV. And whether they are competing against other SVOD services or the other broadcaster players, or whether they're actually competing against broadcast itself. So with Disney, for instance, they're creating new content, and we haven't yet clearly seen whether new content is going to arrive on their channels first and then go straight into Disney Plus, or whether it's going to be launching in Disney Plus alone and make it to one of the channels later on. So the relationship between the on-demand bit and the live channels is interesting. And I think the same questions arrive, particularly with ITV, because of the advertising point of view. I think the BBC, because they're not dependent on advertising, have got more freedom to move stuff from iPlayer, BritBox, or at least from the on-demand environment into broadcast as they see fit. But you do wonder if ITV have got a show which they feel will be a big hit, whether they would want to put that onto a broadcast channel first and extract the advertising revenue that they can get from there, or use it as a loss leader to drive subs into BritBox. And I think there's going to be some difficult decisions around that. Yeah. So there's going to be some assets sitting in ITV studios, and I suspect there's going to be some very difficult conversations about distribution strategy, whether to go VOD first or broadcast first. Because at the end of the day, in the TV world, a big famous show on broadcast is always a much better thing to have on your CV than a big famous show on a VOD service.
Definitely. And particularly in terms of launching a new show, the two shows I mentioned in the US that CBS only make available online are shows that had already had series on broadcast television. Well,
that's right, yeah.
They were established brands people knew and therefore would pay money to carry on watching them, as opposed to attempting to launch a whole new show. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Have we got any idea finally on when it is likely to launch? It's autumn this year is what we're being told.
Yes, which probably will mean January, the way these things go. I think we will be prey to the conflicting strategic imperatives between the BBC and ITV. There's a sense that ITV want this to happen sooner than the BBC, from the pronouncements we're hearing, just because they need to show the city that there's something new and interesting is arriving. As I say, if it comes before the end of the year, I'll be surprised. But it'd be good if it does. Obviously, we'd like these things to arrive sooner rather than later. It then raises another set of interesting questions, which are, will it follow the major VOD services onto the TV platforms? And so I'm asking that question having just seen that Amazon has launched its app onto Virgin.
Yeah.
And has taken a channel line, like Netflix took an EPG line at 204. Amazon has taken a line on the EPG at 228, as well as having its app. So, and we're expecting Disney to do the same. So will, in a couple of years' time, if I turn on Sky Q, for instance, will I be able to see Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Channels Plus, and BritBox sitting there as a VOD proposition within a UK television platform?
Yeah.
These things continue to ask more questions with every iteration they launch. It's going to be very interesting.
It is. Well, we'll keep tabs on it as it develops, and who knows, it might be up and running by the time we meet for the ASI conference in Prague in November. But it sounds
In
like
Prague in November, yeah.
it may well not be by the sound of it. But we'll keep our eyes open. Well, thanks for making the time to talk to us about it, Nigel, and we'll speak to you soon.
Absolute pleasure. Speak soon.
Cheers.